And so I love the Lord, and I love preaching His Word, but I want to bring it to be, you know, practical and applicable to our lives. And sometimes the Word of God is ridiculous to us in our mind, and how it, what it's asking us to do, and we have to realize that our thinking is not, it's not man's thinking. It's above. It's different. And so when I first got saved, and I was in the Air Force at the time, stationed off at Air Force Base in Nebraska, and this is back in the day. I was working for maintenance I was working a supply for a maintenance squadron, and they would come to get their parts, and I would come and order them. And so I just, in my ignorance, I guess, I put tracks on my desk. I didn't know. Nobody told me I wasn't supposed to. Nobody ever did. I just put them out there, and they'd come. We had a couch. They'd sit there, wait while I was getting their parts for them and order them and all this kind of thing. And they'd come, and sometimes they'd come and sit down and talk with me. And I can remember a fella, you know, I got saved, and I was just excited about being saved. I didn't get saved until I was 22 years old, and so I had a fella come in, and he said, you know, all I hear about you is what you don't do. What do you, you know, because I'd always say, you know, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't watch this, and I don't wear that, and I don't go here, and I thought that's, you know, it's what it meant to be a Christian. You know, mostly what I don't do. And he said to me, he said, what do you Baptists do? I said, we do a lot of fun stuff. He said, yeah, like what? I said, like we have potlucks. And I thought, man, that sounded bad. But I meant it. I thought it was great. We get together, we fellowship, we do all this stuff. And he looked at me like, you're crazy. And I thought, I'm crazy. And so, you know, that's just where we're at. 2 Timothy this morning. 2 Timothy in chapter 2. We're going to see what the Lord has for us this morning. I want to invite you to come back tonight. Some of you already plan on coming back, but maybe there's some here that weren't planning on coming back tonight. Oh, sorry. I want to introduce my wife. Can you stand up for us? Yeah, you got to stand up. This is my wife, Jessica, and she is she's actually my second wife. We got married twice, so she's my first wife also, and my second wife. We got married in England, and we were both in the Air Force. We met in the Air Force, and we got married at a JP. It's where I got saved. I got saved. Came back. We thought we should have a church service. So I married her twice. So that's, I get bonus. But only one anniversary. Amen. So I want to. So if you're not planning, if you weren't thinking, I don't usually come back Sunday night. I want to just tell you what the message is tonight. Tonight I'm gonna preach a message: how to perform an exorcism. And so, come back tonight. My wife said, you're not going to do that. I said, I am doing that. And so, come tonight, and you're like, all right, we're going to have to wait till we see what that's all about. So, come back tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I did have to, after this morning, I've got to now use my wife's glasses because I forgot mine. And so, that's just part of not being as young as I used to be. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to preach a message this morning. Titled, as I titled here, As a Good Soldier. Let's pray together as we get started this morning. Our Father, we are so very thankful that we might be gathered together in Your presence. And Lord, I pray that You would come and meet with us now. Lord, we've gathered for this purpose. And Lord, I pray that You'd use Your Word to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that You would help us to have ears to hear. And Lord, I pray that you'd be honored, you'd be glorified, and Lord, that as we seek and desire to know Your Word and Your will, Lord, we would be we'd grow thereby. And Lord, I pray that You'd have Your will and way now in this message. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So he talks about here, he begins this in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness. So enduring hardness, the Christian life is not a cakewalk. Does everybody know what a cakewalk is? Y'all know some of y'all don't know what a cakewalk is? So I remember being in elementary school. I grew up in Sioux City, Iowa. I was born in Sioux City, Iowa. I was there at elementary school. And at the end of the year, we would have this carnival, this end of the year carnival. And there'd be a cakewalk. It was a wonderful game. I mean, it's a wonderful game. If you've never done it, if you've never been a part of a cakewalk. So what you do, you literally walk around a circle. We did a square. And as the music goes, you're walking around and the music stops. You stop on a number. Then they draw a number. And whoever is standing in the number they draw gets a cake. I don't know if y'all get that. Did y'all get that? A cake. And so I think about it now. Maybe that's where I began my love for chocolate cake. Right there. And I do love chocolate cake. Probably too much. A lot of this right here is chocolate cake. When we were in Sri Lanka, we didn't have, there's no cake mixes, no box cake, no nothing. You know, it's so my family had to learn to make cakes from scratch. And if you've had a Hershey's perfectly chocolate cake, you'll never go back. I'm just saying, you can't go back to a box. So it was a wonderful time. But can I tell you this? The Christian life is not like that at all. It's really not like that. This is not a life that has zero obstacles. This isn't a life that has no challenges or no difficulties and just cake. That's not what this... Now, praise the Lord, when we have potlucks, we do get some cake. But that's not what this Christian life is about at all. That's not the life of living for Christ at all. The Scripture often uses these illustrations, as we find here, similes and metaphors, and such as we find here in verse 3, as a good soldier. He talks about this thing of enduring hardness as a good soldier. Immediately gives us a picture or in our mind gives us this image of a soldier in a battlefield or in the desert as we've spent some time there and under difficult circumstances and maybe lacking provisions and ammunition and reinforcements and there becomes a challenge that the good soldier doesn't cower, doesn't complain. Amen? Doesn't quit, right? This is talking about the good soldier. When we think about this enduring hardness, we're thinking about that kind of environment. Even though there is hardness and difficulties that are being endured. You see? So, by the way, I want to just say here, all soldiers are not good soldiers. Right? There is a... that's why there's a particular description here of this illustration. We're talking about... He's talking about how to be a... good soldier. This life that in Christ is—it's not a cakewalk where we simply show up, punch our ticket, walk around, and eat cake. It's not the life that's not the good soldier life. They were just a part of it. Remember in basic training we had this fella, he was the element leader, it's just a thing, but part of the leadership, and he just would lay around, and when he was supposed to do his job, and finally some of the guys decided they were going to help him, they helped him, you know, soap in the pillow, kind of help, you know, wash him up a little bit. Anyway, so you know, after they helped him a little bit, you know, and I thought, man, you know, nobody likes a soldier that's not a good soldier. And you know, trying to... We ought to desire to want to be the best, because as Pastor just said, what Jesus Christ has done for us, we ought to desire to be the best we could be for Him. Amen. That ought to be our desire. So the Lord is using Paul to instruct Timothy in this work that he was going to be doing in instructing others.
It's kind of what's going on here. He said, you know, the Lord said to Paul, to have Timothy, he's telling Timothy to what to do, what he's going to teach others what to do. It's this process here. In verse 2, he said there, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He wants this, the idea was that this would continue to go. I'm saying, isn't this New Testament Baptist Church a wonderful thing? God's plan is a wonderful plan. Listen, God has developed a plan to disseminate His truth through those that have received it, those that have lived it, and those that have, are, and will continue to be enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This isn't a new concept that we've started in the last century. This is God's plan from the beginning of the New Testament. So in this plan, the instruction to Timothy was to be strong in the grace. Back in verse 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So strong in grace. A good soldier isn't good because of what he or she is. See, if there's any value in my life for Christ, it's a result of the grace of God that has been bestowed upon me. Amen. You understand? If there's any value here at all, then it's what God has done in my life. I don't give a history of what I've done to demonstrate how awesome I am. Right? We could have done some really, we could have been to some very important things and been some very important places and really not done anything. Right? God has done some. Listen, likewise the same for you. If you've amounted to anything for the Lord, it's not you. It's Christ working in you. You understand that this morning? It is that grace of God that brought salvation. Keep your place here if you would, and turn with me over to Titus in chapter 2. It's a few pages over. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." So grace is God's unmerited and undeserved favor that brought the good news of the gospel to you and I. Right? And so, grace isn't a message of how good I am deep inside if I can just find the champion within and bring him out. Right? That's not what grace is about at all. It's not about if I can just really get down into my inner soul and bring out this person. That's not what grace is about at all. It's really showing me that I need to repent and I'm a sinner. And I need to turn to the only Savior that there is. It's the exact opposite of how good I am. Grace is the message that there's something missing in my life. You know, I was born with a nature that rejected, despised, resented, and rebelled against the Creator. That was me when I was born. It kind of sounds, you kind of go see this little baby back there. "You evil, wicked, terrible sinner." You know, a little baby, like, the baby cries because you're being so angry. Like, what? It sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? It's kind of a harsh thing, but yet we all enter this life with the desire and purpose to elevate my will and my person, my self-interest. The problem with my will is that it literally is harmful to me. What I want to do with my life will actually cause me trouble, even though I think it's what's going to bring me joy. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? I want to do what I want to do because it's going to make me happy, except for when it doesn't. Right? My will is harmful. I hate that. I hate that because I think what I want to do is going to really bring me joy because it's what I want to do. And then I do it and I'm like, that was miserable. I wish I wouldn't have done that. And then don't you wish you could like go back? Can I try that again? God, we'll do it your way. But we kind of can afterwards. You know, we find this thing. Listen, this isn't simply about just bowing before some deity. Listen, we don't go into a temple, bow before something, put some coins down and go on with our life. That's not what this is about. It's about being reconciled to the God of all creation. The grace of God is Jesus Christ. The Savior, who is the reconciler. You know, I've heard people say, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here. Well, duh. You know, I mean, that's, yeah, sometimes we say stuff that sounds good preaching, but it's like, it's not even smart. And, you know, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't even be here. You know, I'm glad for when it wasn't for Mom, I wouldn't be here. Yeah, okay. But the thing is, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ coming to this earth to pay that sin debt, we would have no way to be redeemed from our sin. He is the reconciler. He is our hope. He's our life. He is the grace extended to us. You know, grace isn't about me developing my life into something great through education, through experience, through circumstances. Me developing this, and I've just had this body. I just want to go get some more experiences. I want to do some more things so I can be developed. Listen, it's about the Lord doing something in and through my life that brings hope, that brings true satisfaction, the true purpose. It's really this. It's the life we were created for. It's the life we were created for. Yet, so many reject. So many resist. And so many rebel against it. We come to this earth following, desiring, and wanting our will, thinking our will will bring us hope, bring us satisfaction. It doesn't. The problem is so many will reject when they find out it's false, it's faulty, it's no good. They will reject it, and they'll still come back. And the Lord is the answer. We spent a lot of time in Sri Lanka as missionaries. We dealt with, it was mostly primarily Buddhist people, and I would come, and Buddhism, there's really no hope. Their greatest hope is to cease to exist. And I thought, man, when they hear the hope, when they hear about Jesus, they're going to be excited. Yeah, I was naive. And so I began to preach the gospel, show them like this here, and they're like, oh, that's a neat story. And I thought, well, you know, listen, you had no hope, and here is a hope. And it's frustrating. Listen, but I'm going to tell you what, God's grace, He's brought it to me and provided salvation from this sin-sick world. Listen, my friends, that's amazing grace. See, salvation isn't heaven. Heaven is like the reward at the end to be with Him. Salvation is being saved not only from the penalty of my sin, but the enduring a burden of my sin now. Man, I would hate to be saved. And the only thing I'm thinking about being saved is, well, at least one day I get to go to heaven. Man, what about now? I'm excited that I don't have to be under the pressure and burden of sin. I'm thankful that I know about God's will, God's grace. They don't have to live in this, like the toils of this world. But there's more to this grace. And in Titus chapter 2, verse 12, it says this. He continues. He said there in verse 11 that it's the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men. And then he says, continues, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The grace of God doesn't end at salvation. It begins there. It begins there. It not only saves us, but teaches us how to navigate this life. It gives us what we need in this present world while providing hope for the world beyond this flesh. So grace is God giving us what we cannot receive on our own. It's the ability and the power, the direction to live in this present world right now. Grace is a wonderful thing. So then, the good soldier is to be strong in this grace. Back there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1, and this is what he was talking about. He said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Which listen, it doesn't mean that I have bigger grace muscles. Did you see my grace? You know what I mean? It's not that there's some kind of, you know, like, man, I'm strong in grace. I've been lifting the Bibles, right? It's not talking about in that kind of way, or that I have some powerful grace, that I have more powerful grace than others. Be strong in the grace. I'm stronger in grace than you are. No, I'm not. Listen, you want to grace it out? I don't know. I don't even know what that means. But it's not talking about strong that way. It means really this: we are strong or strengthened, or rather dependent on that grace of God.
Right.
To be strong in it means I lean on it.
Yeah, no,
I guess if we think about it, it means that I've understood it. And when life, when this life is, and I'm enduring the challenges of this life, and we're going through this life, I've realized that I'm maybe more aware of that grace than I was before. A good soldier looks to the Lord for strength, for direction and purpose. You know, not within their own thinking, understanding, and ability. I really think I want to tell you the major problem in Christianity today. You ready for that? Yeah, I don't know that. But I'll tell you, one of the things is our thinking today. We've developed so much. Wasn't it better when we didn't have running water or electricity? Wasn't that better? Couldn't you imagine? Somebody like, no. You know, I know about sundry stores. I've seen them at museums. Sorry, Pastor. My wife said, I know what that is, but not because I'm that old, so I'm not raising my hand. But we've seen it. Listen, there was a time when there was less things to distract us. I can remember when they first came out with texting. I'm like, we are not doing texting. If somebody wants to talk to me, they could call me. You know, bless God. And not going to do that stuff. Because you had to pay extra. Maybe you had to pay per text. Like, you kidding me? I'm not doing that. And this stuff goes on. And then you know, as time went on, people would call and they're like, man, I don't want to talk to them. They go on. I'm like, you know what I could do? Man, I love texting now. You know, because I don't really want to do. I'm not really if I'm going to be on the phone, let's talk about what we're talking about. Let's hang up. I call my mom. Hey, because I feel like I should sometimes. You know, it's a good sonly thing. I say, hey, mom, how you doing? It's good. What's going on? Yeah, tell her a little bit of something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm. Well, okay. You know, how's it going, Mom? I'm good. We actually text more than we talk. It's something different, you know. We kind of get ourselves in this this idea of the things going on. Our thinking, though, with all this stuff, so busy. We are living in the age of information overload. We got so much information we can't process it.
Yep.
I mean, just, you know, so we've learned not to process it because we can't. It's like so much, and, you know, there's this, that, and you're like, man, I'm going to go find a bomb shelter to go hide it because the world's about to fall. And then it doesn't, and you're like, okay, maybe there's, you know, and so we can't, we learn not to process it. And then what we do is we learn not to process it here as well. We hear it, it's like, that was good. Laughed. It was fun. Right? And we go out and we learn not to process it because what we've done is we're relying on our own thinking, our own understanding, and we process what we want to process. And listen, the good soldier, it's the Lord's comparison here. It's an illustration that the good soldier gives something that there were soldiers in that time that seemed very common to understand. The good soldier is not about doing what he thinks ought to be done.
It's about there's a purpose that the captain has given, the captain of our faith, right? That he's given, and so that's what I'm going to look about. Not what I think, how to navigate this thing. And so this is what a good soldier. Listen, the instruction for us is to be strong in dependence on the Lord. So that's what we're to pass along. It's what he said here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. He said, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So he's talking about giving this gift of grace. You know the only other thing than greater than receiving the gift of eternal life through the grace of God? The only thing greater than that is giving it to someone else. Okay, y'all look like, yeah, I don't know, what's that like? Okay, listen. when I got saved, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't have all this. I really, to the best of my knowledge, I heard the gospel the first time at the age of 22 and I trusted Christ. I mean, maybe I did, but I didn't hear it. You know what I mean? Maybe I didn't hear it, but I'm telling you, that day. So when I got saved, I really didn't understand all that salvation was. I didn't want to go to hell. And I knew I was looking for something. There's a lot more to that story, but I realized Jesus Christ was the answer. And I went and received Him like, okay. Got that settled. Like, that's good. And the pastor comes up. I still remember. I still picture it. It's about three quarters way down the aisle, just right in the middle. And the preacher came and prayed with me. And afterwards, my cousin was there with me. And she brought me to church. And he said, isn't it like a lamb in a field of clover? That was Iowa speak. And I thought, I don't know what that means. Maybe lambs like clover, I guess. And I remember looking at him, you people are weird, you know? And he was so excited, and you know, there's this, I'm like, yeah, I just got saved, you know, it's cool, you know? I mean, I'm just, bring it down, I don't want everybody to know I just got saved, because I always try to be like this good guy, you know what I mean? I didn't really understand, but I'm going to tell you what, I mostly just understood the salvation of a sinner's eternal separation from God. That's really all that I really understood at that time, to be honest. It took me some time to truly understand how I was saved from the present burden of my sin. See, now when someone trusts Christ as their Savior, I understand. I understand with that individual, what their family, and those that they come in contact with will now be freed from. Whew, it's a whole different deal. I'm just telling you, somebody gets saved now. Listen, for those of us that have been saved and somebody gets saved now, and you're like, wow, amen, it's exciting. Okay, three of you get that. It does get exciting. It is exciting because now I'm thinking, man, they just got saved. I'm saying when we really grab a hold of this thing of grace, we get excited because we know what they've just been redeemed from. Yeah. Right? What now their life is going to be saved from here on earth. Man, no longer going to be. Listen, I'm telling you, my life was headed toward a prison, separation, divorce, trouble. I mean, my life was a mess. My life was, and I'm not going to that this morning. But I'm going to tell you what: when God saved me from wasn't just hell. He saved me from the burden of sin, and I'm telling you. I didn't get it then, but I get it when people get saved now. And I'm telling you, you just a big cheesy grin gets when somebody gets saved. When people sit there, yeah, somebody got saved, say, amen. I just kind of wonder if it's something happens. You know what I mean? Maybe we don't believe everybody gets saved that makes a profession. And I'm with you on that. I am. But if they did, wow. Giving the gift of the knowledge of the gospel is the greatest thing that we could possibly get involved in this Christian life. Yeah, anybody here ever eat Hershey's chocolate? Yeah, of course you have. Y'all better have. We live right down the road from Hershey, Pennsylvania. You know, I go through there quite often. And I love Hershey's chocolate.
I mean, I love other chocolate too, but Hershey's pretty good. And imagine eating Hershey's chocolate, or imagine this, never eating real milk chocolate, and all you ever ate was like some baker's chocolate. You ever did that? When I was a kid, my mom would have that to cook with. I'm like, ooh, chocolate. Oh, man, that's a bad surprise. You know, you're like, what is this? That's not fair. That's not right. It's unsweetened nastiness. But imagine if somebody says, oh, that's good, and that's all they ever ate. That's all they ever ate. You know, most Christians are like that. All they've ever ate is the bitter baker's chocolate that doesn't have the sweetness. Like, well, I'm just going to do my thing. And I'm going to tell you, what I'm talking about being a good soldier is to have got away from that and taste the sweetness of a life in Christ. And I'm telling you, there's nothing sweeter than telling somebody else about the gospel. By the way, listen, it's not even always about them getting saved. I mean, I want them to get saved, but just taking somebody that didn't know truth and telling them, and they understand the truth. Listen, what they do with the truth is between them and the Lord. We certainly want to persuade them to trust Christ. But I'm saying, it's just exciting. You know, I love after you would go on like a soul winning visitation. People come back and they visit, and you got people. Yeah, I visited this one, and I said this, and then they said that, and they're just excited. And then they said this, and then yeah, they get saved. But man, I got to tell them, and you know, and they're just excited. They're going like, you know, like they just ate some Hershey's chocolate. They're excited. And I thought, man, and I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't be like that. And then I go do the same thing, and I'm like, and then I said this. You never get over that. Isn't that good? Imagine being a Christian and never telling anybody. Never experiencing that. I mean, the one-to-one telling, sharing Christ with somebody. To go into their life. Yeah. And you just live off the... And you wonder why folks sit around in church looking like they've been sucking lemons. You know what I mean?
Is he almost done?
You know what I'm saying? Not you, other people. Other places. Nothing is exciting. But there's a challenge to this gift-giving ministry. In verse 4, he says there, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. This life is full of entanglements. You ever been fishing where there's a lot of weeds? You know, I hate that. I don't do it very long. Matter of fact, I don't have the patience for that. I failed already. See? If y'all were here for Sunday school, you get that later. Go back and watch it. So, my idea of fishing, do y'all like to fish? A lot of people fish around here, I imagine. We've got water everywhere. I used to be, when I was younger, I'm like, I want to be casting and catching. You know what I mean? If I'm not catching, I'm done. You know, I'm like, I want to be catching. Now, put a bobber on and I'm good. You know, I've kind of got a little bit less young. You know what I mean? It's like, we're fishing. You know, but if you're catching weeds, it's like, this isn't, that's frustrating. You know what I mean? This life is full of that. There's all kinds of stuff that we can get entangled in. We can so easily be entangled in the cares of this world. Whether it's our job, man, our jobs entangle us. Our family, now stay with me. You're like, he doesn't want us to work. Doesn't want us to have faith. Listen to what I'm saying. Or our pursuits of pleasure. Okay, that one we get. That one's easy. The other thing, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a job. Amen? As a matter of fact, we ought to have one to provide for our family. I think I read that somewhere. Right? We ought to work. We're not talking about not having a job. But that's just it. It ought to be to provide. Make provisions. That's not our life. Okay, it's getting quiet. I like that. It means, you know, that's nice. I'm going to park here a little bit. That's what happens when it gets quiet, right? We settle in. Listen, we ought to have a job, but it ought to be about provision. It ought to be about provision. Our job is not the battle that we're in, though. Certainly it's a wonderful place to be given out that gift of life. Always, every job I've ever had, the secular job I've ever had, I've always tried to take opportunities, not stealing my employer's time, right? But living a testimony where I can get that opportunity. And so it's a great, but that's not my job. I mean, that's not my battle. That's just my job. That's my provision. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having a family, right? I mean, it seems like we all got one, right? Y'all got one? Y'all got parents? I think most of y'all here have parents. One time, right? We got a family. We got these things, but our family can constantly be filled with a world of entanglements. I know folks that spend their whole existence, listen to what I'm saying to you, folks that spend their whole existence trying to be a referee for the family drama. Mm-hmm. Well, I got to go and, you know, and this one, and like, and then there's storytelling. I mean, we all tell stories. That's okay. We're a storytelling society. We tell the stories about how terrible all their family is, and I'm the only one that's worth a lick. You know what I'm saying? They're all saying, their whole existence comes, I've got to take care of everybody. And that becomes their existence, being entangled with family. Others spend every other Sunday taking their kids to soccer games, music lessons, karate, chess club, and every other form of personal development, right, to the exclusion of their spiritual life.
Amen.
You know, I like it when I get stuff, people like, yeah, that's what I want people to hear, right? And then the other part, they're silent. Like, can you move on for that? You know, listen, but this is, we're in this thing. What I'm talking about is entanglements. Listen, I enjoy a ball game as much as the next guy, probably more. I am a sports fan. That's what you got. You know what I'm saying? That's just where I like. My daughter and I have season tickets to our local professional baseball team. In the Atlantic League up there is the top indie team in the nation. I love going to baseball, but it's a partial season ticket. Because I go through my church calendar first and see what games are available second. Then, if something comes up at church, we cancel the game and go to church. So we walked out. We've been there for a couple years now, and we're there probably, you know, enough games. And so we go, and the people, we've had our church come there and sing the national anthem. We had a church choir go there. They've asked me to come and pray on the family and faith night, and I go. So the folks know me there, and we're walking out. My daughter and I walking out one night. It was a Tuesday game, and we got beat pretty bad. It was terrible. It wasn't joy, but we got beat pretty bad. And one of the girls, she says, one of the, you know, the workers at the gate, she said, hey, come back tomorrow. It's gonna be a good game. And the other lady there, she said, they don't come on Wednesdays. They go to church. I thought, good. I got that across. You know, I want to make a difference. They said, hey, we'll see you on Sunday. I said, we don't come to Sunday games. The usher comes down. He said, hey, Reverend. Oh, and just that's what they, you know, hey, Reverend, and we have a good time. They know, and the folks say, listen, there's nothing wrong with those things, with pleasure things. Don't have any fun. Just go to potlucks. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. But they're entanglements. You see, we can get messed up. Life is full of stuff that's perfectly fine. It's the danger of getting entangled in those things that the Scripture is warning us about here. The affairs of this life. If we're going to be effective at all in pleasing Him who hath chosen us to be a soldier, we're going to have to be aware of the entanglements of this life. We have to be aware of it. It's interesting. A lot of folks don't realize they're getting entangled because it's a good thing. You know, whether it's... And when I say family, listen, I think moms and dads, their first responsibility is to the children. I'm not talking about, I just don't get so tangled up with taking care of your kids. No, do, please. You understand? I don't know if, I don't see many kids, a couple of them, they seem pretty, I don't know. I'm not saying anything about them because I don't know yet. I've seen kids, they run around, they're screaming, they're hollering, and mom's like, you know what I mean? And you're like, get involved with that kid a little bit. You know what I'm saying? That kind of thing. I'm not talking about that, but there's other things that we're, listen, we're going to be entangled with that's going to, the warning. If we're going to be effective, we're going to have to be aware of those things. Some folks get involved with good things. Politics is good. No, I said nobody. Sometimes we're trying to make a difference, and we get so entangled with that thing that what we're trying to make, we're more interested in making a difference there than with this book. I love the Constitution. I'm a patriotic American. I am. We have flags on our vehicle. We hang. I have outside of my house right now, I have an American flag. I've got missing soldiers flag. I've got what's my other one? It's my Air Force flag. That's right. Sorry. And so I'm a patriotic American. But I'm going to tell you what, and I think that our Constitution is great. I believe God directed that thing. I believe He's all over that thing. But I'm going to tell you what, that pales in comparison to this book. I don't want to love America so much that I'm more interested in preserving that than preserving this. By the way, I'm not preserving this. I'm telling it. You understand? So, but good things we can get entangled in it and just eat up our life. Imagine each of us here, you have folks that you want to be saved. Maybe friends, family, co-workers, neighbors, that you want to be saved. I hope, I trust maybe there's folks that you've been praying for, personally. It's the good soldier that's about that business. It's about that business in that battle. Here's the conclusion this morning. It's probably already late. I don't know what time we normally go to, but here we are. Everybody's like, yeah, just preach. And others are like, that's it. Done. It's noon. I know it's noon. Sorry. The two final thoughts in this passage. Look at verse 5. Verse 5, he says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. This is speaking of their games. It's what it was talking about, their games at that time. The one involved in the game would strive to win. By the way, we don't play to lose. Who does that? T-ball? I don't think even T-ball. They don't keep score today in T-ball. Right? I think in even some little league, they don't keep score. Well, who won? Everybody. Anyway, let me leave that alone. We strive to win. And this is what they were telling me. We would strive to win. Yet, you cannot be crowned except you follow the rules, is what he's talking about here. You got to follow the rules. Christianity, though, look, can I say, it's not a list of rules that we follow to win God's favor. Amen? Y'all with me? Christianity is not a list of rules that we follow to win God's favor. But the soldier will not be effective in the battle if he does not follow the training. The good soldier lives a life that strives to be what God has shown us. Right here. Not from here. But not from here. But from here. You understand? Not one of us here today is going to get this thing perfect. We didn't talk about the perfect soldier. Right? We didn't talk about the perfect soldier. We talked about the good soldier. But it's not about being perfect, really. It's about striving in that direction. Perfecting. Well, I'm not going to be perfect. Might as well just sit down and quit. You ever seen some of these people that run these races, at the end they hurt themselves, and they're like, wow, and they're like, the race has been over like 5 minutes, and they're still coming, and everybody's up there clapping for me like, why? They lost. They can't even make it. What are we doing? You know what? They're going to continue on. You know what? They're pressing toward the mark, even in the midst of what's going on in their life. It's not about being perfect, but it's about striving for that direction. I said there's two thoughts. The last one here, verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must first partake of the fruits. If we will work in the field for the Lord, giving out His grace, then we must first partake of that life. You understand what I'm saying? We don't live my will, but then want to tell somebody else how they ought to follow God's will. Save your breath. You know what I'm saying? It comes off pretty poorly. The good soldier has already experienced the joy of the Lord, and that's what we're passing to others. Listen, do people come up to you and say, wow, what's different about your life? You ever had somebody come and say, I bet you're a Christian, aren't you? No, I never had somebody say that to me. Well, I'd have folks say that often. Maybe it's how we look. Sometimes it's not how we look. Sometimes it's our countenance, right? Just everything's going on and everybody's like walking around today. I mean, it's easy to stand out these days.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, but the good soldier's already experienced that joy. He's experiencing it. There's nothing more exciting than hearing the testimony of one that was set free. It's exciting. Tell me about how you got saved, and they tell you about it like, man, praise the Lord. Sometimes they'll tell it in tears. Some others tell it in excitement. Some want to say, well, I really... You know, my girls, I told them, I said, you know, you need to go live in the world a little bit and do some sin so you can have a good testimony of being saved. We kept them, you know. What you doing? You know, and so we, and sometimes though when you've lived like that, you can say, wow, I didn't, you know, I don't really have that kind of testimony. I'm like, wow, you have a testimony of what you didn't have to go through. What God saved you from. Man, what, I would much rather that testimony of no scars, no burns, no thoughts. And man, I'd trade it all for that. I love hearing that testimony. My parents raised me in church. They loved the Lord their whole life. They taught me to love the Lord. Man, it's been great. What a wonderful. I love to hear testimonies about. But finally, this thing. I know I said conclusion, but now this is the finally. Apostle Paul does that too, so that's legal. Verse 7. This is finally though. Consider, he says there, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So Paul was telling Timothy how to teach others and how to deal with this, and it's about being a good soldier. Listen, I want to just maybe this morning, a lot of things, kind of a little bit, but what has God spoken to your heart about this morning? If the preaching of the Word of God doesn't get personal to me, then it was a waste of my time. Might as well just gave a speech on some activity. What has God spoken to you about this morning? You know, the truth of the matter is, a lot of times we have to just say, Lord, search me. Show me. If there be any wicked way. What's in me, Lord? I think I'm doing pretty good. Listen, that's all right to think I'm doing pretty good. That's kind of where we're... I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Sometimes you say, God, what about this? This is me. You know, are you the good soldier that pleases the Lord? I mean, maybe this morning is this. Are you entangled with any of the affairs of this life? I always think it's interesting, the guy that comes up and says, yeah, I haven't sinned all week. Man, I like to say, I'm trying to be what God wants me to be. I don't know. I'm sure there's, I mean, I know I always have a perfect attitude. Don't ask my wife, but I'm just saying, listen, are you entangled with anything in this life that's got a hold of you more than this has a hold of you? Maybe today you just want to commit to the Lord to continue being a good soldier. I don't think everybody's bad all the time. I don't think every message ought to be about why you're bad and you need to quit being bad and get good. I think sometimes we are going in the right direction. We need to be exhorted to keep going. Amen? Maybe today you're saying, I am going to that. Isn't it more fun when the preacher preaches on something? You're like, amen, I agree with that. I'm living that one. That's so much more fun when it's like, oh me. Time to go. You know what I mean? A little different thing. Man, I love it when God has already spoken to my heart and it's confirmed. Maybe that's you just this morning to commit to continue to be a good soldier. There's no life that's spent giving out the grace of God that's wasted. Father, I do pray that you would speak to each of our hearts this morning. Lord, we desperately need you.
to do a work in our lives. Lord, your grace is so sufficient, so marvelous, so wonderful. Lord, I pray that you would, even right now, Lord, deal with each heart. Lord, help us to see those areas in our life and that we might strive to be more like you and less like us. Lord, pray that you'd have your will and way this morning. Speak to each heart, and we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.